Hey, this is Ben Owen, professional coach and host of The Awakened Man. In this podcast, we'll be talking about the work that's necessary for a man to do to be a leader in his business, a hero to his kids, and an all-round great husband. If you're like me and you're striving to reach your highest potential, head on over to awakenedman.org, where there are three things you can do right now to assess where you are, progress where you are, and we'll keep the third a secret. So head on over there and check them out.
We want this to be the podcast we wish we had, navigating growing a business, having a family, and achieving everything we knew we're capable of. We do our best work with six-figure plus business owners who know they're capable of achieving more. Welcome to the Awakened Man podcast. You join me, Pete, and I have Hamza with me today. So for you guys that don't know, our audience is massively guys that are in their 30s, 40s, 50s. Hamza's audience, younger, mid-20s, before the 20s. But you yourself, 2.3 million subscribers on YouTube. How many people in your school group?
In the free one, 120,000.
120,000 guys in your private group.
Yeah.
That's a big, big number. That's a big following of guys. Mm. Right. And then how old are you?
26.
And this year, was it this year or last year, did you retire your parents?
Last year. Yeah.
Last year.
I was just telling the boys the story, actually, that my dad was a taxi driver. Nice, bro. I was telling the boys the story that my dad has been a taxi driver for the last 10 years. He's worked 60-hour weeks. And when you drive a taxi, you need to put like these lame-ass stickers on your car, which shows, you know, it's like private hire or whatever,
which is
a destruction of a man's status, basically. And when I launched my school group, the paid one, and we got above $100,000, I text my dad saying that he doesn't need to work anymore. And so I was waiting at the door because I'm going to record a video of him coming home. We're going to take his stickers off. I can post it on social media and get more validation. But when his car rolls up, the stickers were already off. And so what happened was when I texted him that, he pulled up on the side of the road and took them off there.
Yeah.
Because he was, you know, impatient enough to want to make that change. So it was just a beautiful story because it made me appreciate how hard he had worked in a job that he didn't like to provide for us as our family, because that's what a masculine man should do. And that I've been able to step into that role and provide for him now.
That's fucking awesome, man. Do you know, this was about a month ago. I was in London and I got into a taxi, and it was taking me to a nice restaurant to meet my buddy. And immediately, about 2 minutes in, the guy just started fucking moaning. He was moaning about his wife. He was moaning about, you know, his children. He loves his children, but he was like, I'm paying out for my daughter to, you know, to afford where she's living. My wife's just constantly on my case. Mm. And I was like, what are you doing about it? And he's like, well, I'm just working more. And then he was like, I'm not going to the gym anymore. And this guy was probably in his 50s. And he went on and on and on, and it was just like professional fucking victim. And I said to him, I was like, you know, you sound like a victim. You really sound like a victim right now. And all you're really doing is just burying your problems and working more in the cab here, in the taxi cab, and not truly addressing the issues that you've got going at home with your wife and actually trying to grow your life here. And he's like, no one's ever said that to me before. Mm. He's like, no one's ever really called me out on my bullshit. And I think that's like for what I've seen with a lot of the older guys, and you can talk to me about some of the younger guys that you work with, but a lot of the older men that I get to work with, I say older, they're fucking my age, like we're in our 30s. But there's not many people that are around them that would truly call them out on their own bullshit and like hold a mirror up and say, do you know this is your reality of life right now? Mm. And because of that, it could just keep them stuck in their own way.
I got viral and famous for basically being an asshole to these guys.
Yeah.
And I was so surprised because the way that I talk on cameras is borderline abusive.
Yeah.
Like I'm shouting at these guys, I'm calling them pussies, swear words, everything, fat, whatever. I even made up a whole character which I used to make fun of like the average guy. His name's Jeffrey. He does all the bad habits.
I was going to ask you about Jeffrey. Yeah.
I made that just to criticize men more.
Right.
Which if you've read Dale Carnegie's book, How to Win Friends and Influence People, the first principle of social skills is to never criticize. But I actually believe that men thrive under criticism. That men for women and for feminine women, not at all. They thrive under praise and positive reinforcements. But men, we call each other out and we point out each other's weaknesses and vulnerabilities, because it's like saying you've got a chink in your armor. Why haven't you fixed it yet? Because with that chink, you are lowering the standard of the rest of the troops.
Yeah.
Like you just did that even before off camera. Like this is real. Like you were saying to my friend, like, but why are you smoking? What kind of edge? Like you call him out and you put pressure on him, and he's literally going to be thinking about it. Like, yeah, like I am too good to be a fucking smoker. Yeah. Of course I am. Like that's it's beneath me. And you inspired that in him the same way that when I record my videos, I say to the boys, it's like, if you watch porn, if you eat junk food, if you waste time on video games, then you've got to feel like a loser.
And I think there's a way, like I've watched some of your videos, and I can tell that the way that you're very authentic. And like, I've absolutely seen other guys call other guys out, and they're not authentic, and they're just being a dick.
Mm.
Generally, they're just being a dick. And like, the biggest form of love is like, hold the fucking mirror up and tell the truth. Yeah. But you know, when you're saying it authentically, you're actually like, oh, I actually fucking want to help the guys. Like, it's very, very genuine. I want to help them. This is why I'm, you know, saying all this stuff.
It comes from a place of love and encouragement. So often my videos are structured in a very particular way where, you know, I start off, I'm a massive asshole and stuff. And obviously I'm doing that because it's like, it helps the guys, but also people will clip it up and, you know, it gets more viral when you're being a bit more negative. But then I show like the authentic side, which is like, I'm saying this to you as this young man watching this, because I wish someone said this to me. No one really told me like how much of a loser I was when I was spending 8 hours a day playing video games and I was grinding in the virtual world instead of real life. If someone looked at me and said like, why are you doing that? It's beneath you. Like you're a nerd. I would have felt that pressure when I was 15 years old.
Yeah.
And it would have inspired me to consider, wait, I don't want to be perceived as weak by these other men. I crave status. And so I'll go and consider the things that would get me status from other guys. I'll go and play sports. I'll go and make a business. And I didn't have that criticism, which is a major problem, especially in Western countries, in most countries now, that the school system is so weak and so sexist towards men that the boys are not developing at all. We're being raised in the same way that girls are. We're not being criticized. We're all being given like cute little participation trophies. And basically we're just turning into like a weird, docile, flabby, bitch titty version of what a man's supposed to be like. Like these days, most men can't even handle the criticism because they've not had that relationship with their father of like the positive masculine role. So when they hear my videos, the guys who are a little bit masculine adopt it and they like it. But so many people just get pure offended, just like a woman would. Like, if you know, if I called a woman fat, she'd get offended, and she should do, because that's not how you help a woman at all. You actually call her, like, you say that you love the shape of her body and she'll be more likely to exercise. You don't say to a guy like, oh, you know, you're looking good, if he's a fat piece of shit. You call him a fat piece of shit and he's more likely to make progress. But men are so feminine these days that for many of them, it doesn't work anymore.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You call them up, rather call them out.
Mm.
I know for me, right, so I'm mid-30s, and for a long time, I didn't have, like, masculine role models, right? That wasn't really in my life. And so when I was 13, divorced. My parents were divorced. I then moved in with, guess who? My mother, right? And so then I was brought up by my mother. My mum's amazing. A beautiful woman, very, very feminine, a lovely, lovely lady. But the problems I then learned in later life was that actually I put women on pedestals, because like my mum is like, she's bringing me up, right? She's fucking amazing, okay? Listen, my dad was around, although he moved countries. So wasn't there, like, as he probably would have been or should have been now. Like, he looks back at that and goes, I fucking wish I was there for a bit more. But I absolutely fell into this, like, nice guy sort of like, the way that people will like me is that I'll just do what my mum does, and I'll be nice to people, and I'll be nice to other guys, and I'll be nice to other women, and then hopefully they'll like me, and hopefully they'll want to sleep with me, and then hopefully I'll find a wife, and then when I find a wife, then I'll be really nice to her as well.
How did that work out for you?
Well, I just got divorced.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. But for me personally, it took a very, very, very long time to begin to figure that shit out, right? And to go, actually, there was a reason why I had a fucking business breakdown. And because my previous business, ultimately, I had a bit of a breakdown in the business. We grew it to, you know, good size. And in the end, I was like, fuck this, I've had enough of this shit. Well, I left that business. And it was actually down to me being a fucking nice guy. It was down to me having no boundaries. It was down to me not asserting what I truly felt in the business. And this wasn't my mum's fault, by the way. I'm not pointing the blame at my mum here. But what for me, there was this not truly believing in my own self-worth as a man, right? Not knowing how to act as a guy, not being able to express boundaries, not being able to actually articulate my wants and needs, not only in a relationship, like intimately with my missus, but also in business. Led to a business breakdown, led to a divorce. When that happened, I found out there are millions of other guys doing exactly the same sort of thing. Going into the world, being the nice guy, and it doesn't work out. What's your experience with that, like, nice guy syndrome in younger guys? Are you seeing it?
The tides are changing because many of us have, basically most men these days, we listen to the advice we've been given by feminism, by school and Hollywood movies. We've been the nice guy and we've waited for the girl who's getting fucked by the jock who she really likes. And, you know, we'll just stalk her like they do in the movies and the nerd eventually gets her, right? We tried it that way. And universally, basically, all men have now said, yep, they lied. We tried it their way. We've been the nice guy. We've been this cute little feminine guy. And it hasn't worked to attract the girl. The exact opposite works, where you're way more masculine and stoic and even distant and aloof. The kind of traits that many people have said is not attractive to women. So guys who follow me these days, many of them are starting to realize the real playbook to attracting women and just being a man is like, it's not about just trying to be as nice as possible. People even make fun of nice guys and simps in this space. But a few years ago, because I've been in this space for maybe about 10 years now, but a few years ago, it was still almost like a baptism, like an enlightening moment for many guys when they discover my content or Andrew Tate or podcasts like this, when they first hear ever that you don't actually need to be like this soft, effeminate pushover pussy that the world and school has conditioned you to be, that you can have standards. And the interesting thing is when you have those standards and you're a bit more of an asshole, you actually get way more respect from people, from yourself and from women. And so the young guys are waking up to the truth because the results are in, basically. And when you follow my videos, your life gets better. When you follow my advice, you'll get more girls than ever. And we wish it wasn't like that. Many guys, like, because we've had that old conditioning, we wish women were what we were told they were, but they're not. We were told that they were just equals and the same as men. And now when all of us are looking at that messaging and think, wait, were we stupid? They told us like women and men are the same and we actually believed it for most of our lives. And then when you first hear someone say, oh yeah, men and women on average are very different and you've got to treat a woman very differently to a man. Now we're like, yeah, of course you do. Like, I wouldn't be criticizing a woman, I'd be praising her. I'd be calling my friends out. I'd be expecting them to be consistent and punctual and to stay true to their word. I wouldn't expect that from a woman. And people might say that that's me being sexist, but she brings feminine energy, which is inherently chaotic and ever-changing. So once you realize this and you're watching podcasts and content like this, men go through stages. And one of the first stages is like the anger stage. And this is where like a lot of the negativity and the sort of backlash for our spaces come in, because men get angrier when they first watch me. They get pissed off. They're in the comments. They hate women. They hate this. They hate feminism. They feel, you know, aggressive and angry to the world. You know, fuck these women and let's go our own way. Let's not mix with women. But I've went through that stage as well. Maybe you did. Most men who are very capable with women have went through a stage where you're in more of an aggressive phase up until you realize, oh, okay, I just was operating by the wrong rule book.
Yeah, like, I mean, when I watch content and to be honest, I don't normally feel angry when I watch content. But when other guys might feel a little bit angry when they're watching content, that's probably a trigger, and it's like okay, well, why the fuck am I getting triggered at this piece of content here? Generally, is it because the guy's a bit of a dick and what he's saying isn't true, or if I can look underneath that, is that something that's in my shadow? Like am I actually suppressing some of my own shit that I could probably do with addressing? Right, because that's what a lot of guys do. They suppress their emotions. That's actually, you know, talking about that anger. My emotional anger is a fucking beautiful emotion. It's an amazing emotion to have. It's when it gets to above anger and it goes into aggression.
Mm.
Right, that's when it gets dangerous. Right, and it's not a good place to be. But if you've got controlled anger, it's an amazing emotion. With a lot of guys that I get to work with, a lot of the anger is suppressed. It's like society is like, no, anger's fucking bad. Don't be angry.
Mm.
Right, you see, like even this, like that's just fucking about 6 months ago. Leo, my little boy, you met earlier. He's three, right? About 6 months ago, he was walking out the house and for some reason, he just got angry, right? And he got the dog's cage and he slammed the cage. And I immediately went, Leo, what are you doing? Don't do that. Don't slam the cage. Da, 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 da. And I drilled into Leo for a good 30 seconds and his little face and he started crying. And in that moment, after I drilled into him, I was like, hang on a minute, Pete. What have you just done there, mate? You have just done exactly what fucked you up for all those years. You have disciplined Leo for expressing anger, right? And, you know, Leo, you know, he's 3 years old. Like, he doesn't know how to express all his emotions, but what I'm teaching him there very, very early is don't express your fucking emotions, mate. Suppress them, which is what I did for so many freaking years. Okay, and now but because I'm so aware of that, I catch myself in the moment. Okay, Leo's just expressing, mate, express them, man. Just get them out. Whatever you need to do with those emotions, get the emotions out. And that's what I see a lot with guys is things are suppressed, and then what happens?
Explodes.
We fucking explode.
Yeah.
And typically we'll explode with the people that we love the most, you know, our children. And that, you know, when I explode at Leo, because I do, I'm normal, I'm not, there's no perfect father figure here, like, I'm doing my best, but because I'm aware, I can look at it afterwards and go, hang on a minute, why did I explode at him just then? What's going on with me? Because nothing to do with him, he's a three-year-old. What's going on with me? Like, what have I still got internally that I'm putting in the shadow there that I need to work on?
Mm.
And I think for a lot of guys, and this is, and you know, I like the work that you do, because you're bringing so much awareness. Because that's the biggest fucking thing, right, is awareness. If you're unaware of these things that are going on subconsciously for you, they just control your life. They just control your life and it's what, well, that's my fucking life. That's life, right? That's the way I am. But once you bring them to awareness, it's like it takes you from a level 100 controlling you down to a level 40 because you're like, fucking hell, these things come up. I'm aware of that now. Oh yeah, that is fucking wrong.
There's levels to the awareness that you can have as a man. Like I thought when I was 21 years old and I was building muscle and getting into business that, you know, that was me and I'm this, you know, the sick guy, I know everything, I'm an amazing guy.
Yeah, yeah,
the ego. Then you start meditating and you pick up on certain times that you are feeling a little bit more emotional, but even that wasn't even close to the point that I got. I remember going onto a call with my breathwork coach and he kept on saying it to me that I've got like, most likely I have like repressed energy, especially sexual energy, like tightened in my stomach.
Yeah.
I've got like a clenched jaw and I never even picked up on these things. It's when you're next to a guy who's further ahead in his like spiritual enlightenment than you are, that they can take one look at you and say like, oh, like your family like repressed you sexually, right? And it's like, it's fucking spot on as well. And I didn't realize like how much the average guy is being held back by things that people aren't speaking about. We always speak about muscle and getting girls and money, but we don't speak about things like actually taking big, deep breaths. Most guys breathe like little bitches. They breathe like up to the chest and with like shitty posture and everything. And so some of the things I shout at the boys for is like, breathe all the way down to your balls, breathe fully, circulate the energy. You don't realize how weirdly important certain things like that are. And then what's going to happen if you aren't breathing right or you're not aware? A lot of these emotions that we have will just be stored and tainted and murky inside of us. Like you said, anger comes up and it's an authentic emotion that we should actually honor. And when we don't honor it, that's when it actually gets dangerous. Mm. That was a new lesson for me because I've come from the culture of this masculinity space of, you know, only being stoic and certainly be stoic, especially in front of women. But when there's a time when you authentically feel angry and it's safe to do so, it's kind of nice to be able to express it because when you express it to the world or there's someone who's hurt you and you bring it out, you almost give it as a gift to the world, it dissipates.
Yeah.
And it's pleasant. Like the story I have with this was me and my best friend in university, we were so close, like brothers. And, you know, we went out, partied, went to the gym, went to boxing together, went on holidays together, like just me and him for years and years and years. And near the end of our time, like living together, we had like a massive falling out. You know, we're going in two different directions and I didn't like his girlfriend. She was rude, whatever. We have this massive falling out. And I'm not going to lie, I fucking backstabbed him hard after that. I told his parents all of the shit he'd been doing, drugs. He dropped out of uni. They didn't even know. So I really like went too far. And I almost like kind of ruined his life. I end up stumbling upon him in the middle of a club. And we're kind of like keeping it cool for a little bit. And when we're outside in the smoking area, he comes to me and we start talking about like what's happened. We've not seen each other for a while. And here's this guy who's like a strong, stoic guy. You know, he's cool as fuck and everything. He's charming. And he burst into tears while shouting at me for what happened. He said, "You ruined my life. You were like my brother. You were this, you were this." And I was like, you know, being the stoic guy, like thinking, oh, he's being emotional. That's a bad thing. He said everything he needed to say. He even put his, like he didn't hurt me, but he put his hands on me, you know, to express a little bit of anger, but without aggression. And then I literally saw the switch that all of that repressed energy in him.
He pented it up. Yeah.
It was unreleased.
Yeah.
And I saw the moment that he was going to be fine after that. I didn't say anything back.
Yeah.
I thought about him and the things I wanted to say and whatever else for basically years afterwards, even probably still to this moment because I never expressed it to him. So I thought he was being like, you know, like emotional, whatever. He actually did the right thing. All the pent up energy was just gone and he literally looked like back to normal straight afterwards. Whereas I stayed in this repressed energy for years afterwards.
Yeah. Like that. All those suppressed emotions, you're right, fucking, it goes through your body. And most guys, like, they're in their body, all these emotions. It's like a fucking hose pipe between our balls and our head.
It kinked.
Right? Yeah. And then there's a fucking kink in it.
Yeah.
There's this, like, kink right there. And it doesn't do us any favours. And it's like being able to release that, those emotions in a regulated way, like emotional regulation. That's such a powerful like skill set to have as a guy, to be able to regulate your emotions, to be able to be cool and calm in the fucking chaos that is the world, right? Because the world's fucking chaos.
Men don't realize the significance of what we're talking about. Honestly, every guy in my space, all we talk about is muscles, getting girls, making money, and you know, you've got to escape from the matrix and stuff. What you've just described there, like the kink of the masculine energy inside of you, people don't realize how powerful taking a couple of deep breaths are.
Mm.
Like if you're nervous with a girl, you're nervous before this podcast. We took one breath and it's like, I'm fine. And now I'm spitting game and everything. If I didn't take that one breath or the few that I've taken whilst you've been talking, I would have been in some quiet, reserved energy. I'd be insecure in my mind, thinking that I'm being judged, this pressure, whatever. And I would have performed much worse. When I spend time with a girl, if I'm on a date, as many times as possible, I'll cue myself to breathe as deeply as possible. If we're on like a table having wine or something, I'll feel my stomach bulge out and push the table with force.
Yeah.
And when that happens, I know for a fact I'm like doing well on this. I know for a fact.
I listened to one of your YouTube episodes yesterday and it was on dating a woman, like the steps on dating a woman. I'm like, this is funny because I literally recorded similar fucking episode about a month ago. Like this is how to date a woman for her to go, wow, that's a great experience. And one of the things I said exactly the same thing. I was like, fucking breathe. Mm. Like when you're there, just breathe. Like take a breath. It's so important to just to be able to regulate and calm down. Everything's going to be okay.
Mm.
Right. The breath is a very, very powerful tool.
Mm. And most guys in the West don't know that. They don't realize, especially with modern habits, we're sat down, we're literally like suppressing all of our energy like this on our laptops, on our phones and stuff. Like I meet young guys as well, and when they go on their phone and you see them, it's like they literally go on their phones like this, like just neck down, curled up like this. I always take the piss out of them. I'll like grab their chin and lift it up. It's like, bro, why are you like this right now? Because all they're doing is they're curling and folding inwards, repressing the energy. A lot of energy I found that, at least for me, is like, it's when you actually open up this way. It's when your chest comes out. And it's, you know, what's all the body language tactics that you've seen, you've probably heard of, or you've seen on YouTube, where it's like, you know, how to impress people with body language. You're opening up this space, you're taking up more space because you're opening up like this whole area here so that you can actually have what would I even say? Like, you can have the full stream of this sexual energy from the top of your head to the perineum and back up again. And most guys, I honestly think they barely get to the chest with their shallow little breath and then go back up.
Here's a question for you.
Yeah.
I first read this question like a year ago, and it really got me, no, a couple of years ago actually, really, really got me thinking. I'm like, that's a fucking powerful question. So like, in today's world, you're a content creator. You make fucking loads and loads of content. And there's this massive like overconsumption right now. So many guys are consuming, consuming, consuming. And gaining wisdom is quality. You know, we want to gain as much wisdom as possible. But one of the greatest things that you can ever do is the skill set of unlearning. Right. So it's not just because you can learn and learn and learn and learn and learn. But if you've got all these fucking bad like belief systems, you've got these bad skill sets, you've learned the wrong things, you just stay here. You might make a 5% increase, but you fucking stay there. For you personally, what's some of the things that you have had to unlearn that have then seen you accelerate?
Wow, good question. Okay, I'll go in my timeline. Let's say from 2020, I wanted to start becoming an entrepreneur. I had to unlearn a lot of the conditioning that they put on me from school, which is that you need daddy or an authority figure to set you work. It was so difficult for me to become an entrepreneur because I had basically never actually set myself work to begin with. You know, you always have a deadline, an assignment, accountability. You've got to get this homework in on time.
Yeah.
And I didn't have that anymore. And so it genuinely took me about maybe 6 to 9 months to learn how to do work by myself without someone, authority figure, telling me what to do. I had to unlearn like being some submissive person waiting for orders and actually having to learn the skill of productivity and setting myself my own tasks, which was very difficult because you wake up with no accountability. And in those days I was, you know, life wasn't good. And so I was waking up and smoking weed and then trying to like work a little bit, but it wasn't happening. So I just keep smoking weed and play video games and fall asleep and get annoyed that I still wasn't making progress. So it took me a while to unlearn the dependency that I had on authority figures to tell me what to do. And I think that's what's the major bottleneck for people who are becoming entrepreneurs. When you become an entrepreneur, you're basically trying to become like an intellectual alpha male. Mm. You have to set yourself orders. Like no one's setting you orders. You chose to do this podcast today, especially with a modern day entrepreneur. You don't, and compared to celebrities, you don't have like brand deals or sponsorships that tell you you've got to do a podcast with this person and ask these questions. We don't have that. So it was a huge learning lesson. That was the first major one.
Yeah, I like that a lot. It's like, no one's coming to fucking save you but yourself. It's ultimately, have you read the book Extreme Ownership by Jocko Willink?
Yeah, of course.
It's 100% ownership.
Of course.
Right? Yeah. It's 100% responsibility for your life.
Mm. Next. You know, recently I've been, let's say for the last few years, my evolvement as a man has been very quick compared to most guys. And so I've had to shed layers of myself much faster than the average person, including my own viewers. So one of the things that I feel like I'm most misunderstood about is that I'm constantly changing my views and opinions and whatever like I'm currently believing and working on. Because I believe that in every season, like every layer of your purpose, you need to adopt as many beliefs, attitudes, traits as possible for that. But one layer of your purpose, like for example, maybe it's financial freedom, that's the big goal for you, or it's like creating an impact, or it's like raising your son, or it's getting through school. You need to align everything to that. And because I shed layers so quickly compared to the average person, because I don't do that many time-wasting habits, I just fucking work on the thing that I'm supposed to do. My personality and my values change very quickly. So that, for example, a few years ago, I was very much in the thing of like, if you use Instagram, that's like Jeffrey stuff. It's bad for you. It's dopamine. It's horrible. No social media, monk mode. I don't even touch technology. And I prided myself on that. And I used to say like, you know, I don't check my phone. I reply to messages once a week. These days, I actually grab my phone probably first thing in the morning to reply to messages. I've told guys not to do that. So they'll see that and think, oh wait, you're contradicting yourself. You told us not to reply to messages. Why are you doing it? But I've gotten to a different level now where me not replying to messages isn't something to boast about. That's just being a bad business owner, a bad employer.
Yeah, you know, absolutely.
I've missed like opportunities. I've pissed high level people off because I've missed calls that I planned with them. But you know, they only got back to me 2 hours before the scheduled time or whatever.
Yeah.
So now I'm at the point where I feel like I have to unlearn very quickly whatever traits I had just a few months ago. Like, for example, I was at home in like my monk mode season just a few months ago, and I was in that sort of grind, 12 hours a day, staring into a computer screen. And I very quickly had to unlearn that to be in this environment where I'm in London and I'm meeting a bunch of people, because me just being sat at home and just working on my computer is interestingly like an unproductive, undisciplined thing, because it's comfortable. It's so easy. This is difficult. Getting ready and like, you know, I'm not good at fashion. I've had to like upgrade my wardrobe just to be your, you know, to try and fit in and to have a better self-image. And so now I'm pushing into new levels of like that are leaning me past my edge. So it's just because of how fast life is moving, especially when you have a business like this and there's so many new connections and explosive growth in a social media business, I feel like I'm unlearning like 50% of the things that I've just learned a few months ago. Like another example is that I used to read books all the time, and I preach it to most guys who follow me. I don't really read anymore, because for me to read, like, for example, I want to lower the churn of my subscription-based product. Problem is, I'm number one on that website. So it's like, who's written a book on this website? If there's anyone who's given any kind of tutorial on this website, he's probably not going to have anything to teach me. I'm literally number one on the website. I have the most popular thing, and I've also made the most money by far on it. So it's like, I'm the person who's actually paving the way. And so I can go and try and find a standard book that maybe teaches some of the principles of reducing churn. And, you know, maybe I'll get a couple of insights and I'll try trial and error for a few months. Or I don't read at all. I called up my friend, Charlie Morgan, who makes $10 million a year, and asked him what to do. He told me what to do in 10 minutes and I implemented it and it worked.
Yeah.
So that's another thing. It's like, I'm not doing the habits that I actually recommend to my people.
Well, it's seasons, isn't it? And it's seasons and it's levels and it's where you're at in life. The whole like monk mode thing. I've got my opinions on that. I think it can be dangerous for guys. Mm. Very, very like, you know, one of the biggest thing I see with men, but it, like in my guys, 30s, 40s, 50s, is isolation and loneliness. I don't know much about monk mode. I think it's a younger generation thing, but it would seem to me as though it's sort of like hibernate for however long to grind and to build. And I love that, but I think it should be caveated with also like ensure that there's some like you're socializing a little bit, like you're seeing someone like, because otherwise like you become this fucking hermit and then the hermit feels good. Because it's like, well, this is actually easy. I don't need to talk to anyone.
It's comfortable.
It's very fucking comfortable. And then it becomes habitual.
Yeah.
And then it becomes your fucking behavior. And then it's your identity.
Yeah, that's it. Now you're a lonely guy.
Now you're a lonely guy. And like, and guys need to be in tribes. Like, exactly. You've seen this with your people, right? Yeah. Like, you've got a cult following. I've seen that. And it's, but guys need to be in tribes. When guys aren't in their tribes, they feel lost. And there's that, you know, they might not be able to put their finger on it, but like, fucking, I don't know why. I've got the money, got the model wife, got the car, right? Got a beautiful son. Why do I feel fucking lost? Well, there's a social element to it that's really, really fucking important for men.
We need the gang. I don't recommend monk mode at all anymore. I made videos on it because it helped me.
Yeah.
But I realized.
I can see where like it should be a requirement for some guys, but with caveats of just like, make sure you get to the gym a couple of times a week with the guys.
This is the disclaimer that I now know that I would give when I talk about monk mode. I've already been super social in my life. Like, I've got it. So I disappeared from the boys for like a year straight for last year. And I took my business from not even being profitable to like 200K a month, right? Which is awesome. I've retired my family.
Right? But
I went on that monk mode period knowing that I can fuck and I can speak to guys. I've got no problem with that whatsoever.
Yeah.
When I then talk about monk mode, I realize I've made the mistake that I'm telling it to, you know, little teenagers who actually need the social skills. Because before I ever got onto monk mode, I did the exact opposite. I went into the full-on like party scene and speaking to as many people as possible, socializing. So it's kind of like when the successful guys tell the young guys like, oh no, don't date because it's a distraction.
Yeah.
But I can say that when I've already got an abundance of attraction from girls, so I know that I've got it. So the reason why I just don't recommend monk mode to young guys. That's why I made my own like self-improvement. I wanted to make like a version of that, which I call the Adonis Protocol, which is kind of like, imagine being on monk mode where you super hard grind, but part of the grind is the social life. Part of the grind is what I say, like, you go on a weekly date with a girl, and if you can't get the date organized, you go out and you speak to two new girls a day. That's part of your self-improvement journey. Because guys say, like, oh, it's a distraction to spend time with girls. No, it's one of the biggest things that will actually develop you. If you can get to the skill where you can speak to two attractive girls per day, you're already in the top 1% of men in terms of confidence.
And here's the second thing on that. This is important. Guys need love. From whatever type of partner you want to pick. Typically, guys will get their significance from building something. We're going to build a business. We're going to build a tribe. We're going to build something. We're builders. We get our significance from doing that. Where it can really fuck us is if the pure focus is only the building of the business and like put the love with a woman, you know, second or third or fourth or fifth. Right, it's actually about having both significance in building a business, as well as like deep connection, deep intimate connection with a woman, and having them both at the same time. That's when a guy will thrive. Right, he might feel like he's thriving when he's building the fucking business, but if he's neglecting the love side for too long, he'll feel lost. I know that because I fucking did it. Right, even when I was married, like my business was first. My business was number one. That was my significance. And like the relationship was like second. That was a mistake. Right. And so I'm like, guys, to make sure you don't like spend all your time building the business. Like if you focus on deep love as well, it's important for guys.
If you could go back, would you have put the love as the priority?
To be honest, for me, it's a season. Right, it's a learning curve. What was meant to be was meant to be. You know, for me, that was a period that I was meant to go through so I could learn those lessons and then I could help other guys do, like, from my experience. And, you know, me and my ex-partner, we had a beautiful, beautiful chapter. We've got a beautiful baby boy with each other for 6 years. That was the end of that chapter, right? And we've now got a great relationship and we'll go on and we'll do our separate things, but still in each other's lives because we've got a boy. But I wouldn't go back and change. No, absolutely not. Because that's how I am molded today. Yeah. That's given me the experiences, given me new character traits. So it's all lessons.
Let me change the question because it's an intellectual answer. What you've given is you wouldn't want to go back and butterfly effect your way into making things worse, even though you can have an insight of something you could have done better. But let's say there's a 20-year-old guy who tells you he's got like an amazing girl. They've been together for 2 years. And he's wondering if he should get married. What do you tell him?
Wondering if he should get married at 20 years old.
Yeah.
If it's the right woman for him, for me, you will know deep, deep, deep fucking down in your gut, in your conscious, it will truly tell you. I'm a believer in that, that your conscious will really, really tell you whether this is the right woman for you and whether marriage is the right thing for you. Absolutely. And the right woman, like if you're a young guy and you've got big dreams and you want to build a business, like she will be there to support you and to grow with you. You know, maybe there's a team partnership there and you'll feel that, you'll know that deep down. So I think it's incredibly important to, I'll tell you what's incredibly important when you're any age and you're in a relationship, is to be fucking so honest. It's to truly, truly look at like where the good things are and the bad things are, and to be fucking honest about where you're fucking up, right, in a relationship, and to talk about it, like openly with a woman, with your woman, is to actually go, hey, like, how did I perform this week as your man? Like how did I, you know, meet your wants and meet your needs as a man this week? Where did I fuck up? And then for her to do the same to you. Right? No, that's like the few and far between. That doesn't happen. It's very, very rarely happens. You know why? Because it's fucking hard.
Yeah, it is.
It's very, very hard for your woman who you love to look at you and say, do you know what? Actually, you're pretty shit this week as a husband. Like you weren't there for me emotionally. You weren't there for me physically. Your focus was elsewhere. Whatever that fucking looked like, that's hard work. But in relationships, if it's important to you, the way the relationship will grow is you go deeper. You go deeper into the relationship. Like you bring on conflict. Like conflict in a relationship is great if you're there together as a partnership, wanting to lean into it you know, hey, we're going to have a bit of conflict now, but let's go deeper with each other and find out why this is here. Rather than carpet, fucking sweep it under there. Yeah. I'll neglect that. I'm just going to go out with the guys, or I'm going to go back into the office and build the business or whatever that looks like. That's actually the weaker way. It's the weaker way out.
In my space of this like red pill masculinity content, it's often just seen like women are just a distraction, don't date, focus on building the money, whatever first. And I completely disagree with that.
Mm.
Because my development as a man has hugely come from love. And I remember being in Bali and I was with another guy who's built like me, like masculine as fuck, you know, purpose driven, ready to work. And me and him used to wake up super early, go to the cafe nearby, just sit there and like basically talk about our love lives, which was like really sweet moments. Like we were bonding over that. And, you know, he'd tell me like, oh, you know, here's this problem or here's this. And I remember giving him this one piece of advice that really stuck to me and him. And I said, we need to start seeing love as a discipline. As masculine men, we very much are aligned to like, you know, the check boxes. We wake up, let's check this box, let's do this, let's get this goal. Why don't you have that with your woman?
Mm.
Why not have on, as your checkbox, hug her, praise her, weekly task, relationship review, turn to her and say like, how could I do better next week?
I think I fucking fell into this trap. I think most guys fall into this trap is that we want it just to flow. But love's this beautiful divine thing. Surely it should just flow and like it's natural.
Nothing flows in a man's life. Like maybe for a woman, but everything with us is friction, and we burst through the friction. We do that with
absolutely.
The gym. We don't just flow to the gym or anything. Maybe after 5 years and you enjoy it or something.
Yeah.
But like a lot of things with a man is pure friction. It's an uphill battle. And it's weird because I've never heard someone say this, but if you see love as an uphill battle, like your goals, if you see it as something that requires discipline, like the daily checkboxes, the intention, the visualizations, it's a skill at the end of the day. And most men, the reason why they yap on about, oh, women are all low quality, women are this and Western women, whatever they say, it's most likely because they've got such a low level in the love skill and they're like, oh yeah, well, you know, relationships are all fucked. No, the relationships most men are getting into are fucked because both partners are basically shit at the skill of actually being with each other. I can't even articulate, but I understand what you mean by like the conflicts that arise in this interpersonal dynamic where basically both of you are operating from like childhood conditioning. You've got that trait or the psychological niggle of when she does something and you didn't even pick up on the fact that pissed you off because your father used to do or your mother used to do that to you. Being in a loving relationship and actually coming closer and deepening into love has been more therapeutic than the high-end therapies that I've gotten and probably on level with psychedelics,
which is
a big statement to say. But for me personally, I developed some of the most of my life last year when I was deepening with my woman. And I realized just how anxious I was that I was never, I was sweeping it underneath the rug because it's not the alpha male thing to, you know, be anxious in a relationship. And I started to become so aware of like my intense anxiety of getting cheated on, my expectations that a person couldn't stay faithful to me, that they'd always be wanting or willing to backstab me. And these come out in these micro moments that most men don't even pick up on. And when you start to, like, for the guys who relate to this, and for anyone else, maybe in a few years they'll relate to it, it's such an interesting moment because there's knowing yourself, like, oh yeah, I go to the gym and I can lift this much weight and I make this much money. And there's knowing yourself, like, oh yeah, I have this interpersonal quirk that when someone is slightly condescending, it triggers me because my father used to be like that. And that makes me actually like them more because I crave their recognition.
Yeah, yeah.
And that means that I need to stay aware of that because I'll like a woman more when she acts in this way that's actually not even good for me just because I'm attracted to the familiar sense of love that I got from my mother.
Yeah, it's attachment theories.
Exactly.
It's like the anxious attachment. Yeah. And it's absolutely. And I've seen that in myself. Like massively, like avoidant attachment. It's like won't go fully in on a relationship because I'm avoiding certain parts of that because I'm ultimately not wanting to get fucking hurt, right? From prehistoric beliefs.
Mm.
Yeah, but if you, and like we said earlier, it's awareness.
Mm.
Until you are aware of that, it will just fucking keep controlling your life. And it's like, if you sweep it under the carpet and just, hey, I'm just going to go to the fucking gym, it doesn't solve the problems. Long term, it doesn't. It might solve it short term for a few months. It might feel good, but long term, it fucking doesn't.
Most people are operating under conditioning and they don't even realize it. They think that they are sovereign adults choosing to act and feel how they are, but they're not.
Absolutely.
They're basically just traumatized little children.
We all fucking are. We've all got our bad patterns.
Yeah.
You know, we are controlled by our behaviors and our patterns. Mm. It's our internal self-sabotage.
And spending your life like that as well. Imagine like getting, you know, I'm almost, not ashamed, but I'm almost like looking back thinking I spent at least 20 years of my life just acting out my childhood insecurities.
Mm.
And I'm like, future me's looking back at me like, no, dickhead, you still are right now.
Yeah, yeah.
But like I see people who are 40 years old still stuck in that, never had the self-awareness, never just sat down, stared at a wall and just breathed till they realized something deep about themselves, always pushed it off and consumed and like just went mindless instead, just constant stimulation that they never got to discover themselves. And just acting out of that, that's not supposed to be the real you. Like if you were never judged by your family, if you were never traumatized as a child and you had like inconsistent love from your parents, how different would you be right now and how much potentially happier would you be in the people you're attracting to your life as well?
But that's, you know, going back onto your following actually, I think that's a massive reason why you got such a big following is because people have seen your journey and they've seen the fucking warts. And they've seen, you know, they're like, oh, I remember when Hamza was like younger and like he was saying these things and now I can see how he's evolved and he's saying these things. Mm. And absolutely, like when you're 36, when you're my age, hope you will look back and go, fucking right, I've like changed all my perspectives again because so much fucking evolvement. That's because you're willing to do the work, going deep into doing the work.
Yeah, and
which is hard.
Yeah, it's brutal.
It's fucking brutal, especially when you're doing it so you're exposed
publicly. Yeah, because every 2 weeks I come onto the camera. Oh, boy, sorry, I was wrong of like 2 weeks ago. Whatever I told you to do.
Yeah, scrap that.
Not sure I'm not doing that anymore, boys.
yeah, absolutely. So let's go back onto the relationship actually, because I think it's a fucking good subject to talk about for guys. So you've come out of a relationship recently.
Yeah.
Right, I've come out literally both of us, January. Mine was 6 years, yours 18 months, so and so.
Yeah.
What's some of the biggest lessons that you've taken away from that relationship where you fucked up that you can then take into future relationships and go, that's where I messed up there?
Oh, brilliant question. The phrase I use is, don't become the goofy farting boyfriend.
Mm.
She met me when I was like James Bond.
Yeah.
I was this mysterious, sexy guy. I had this massive cult-like audience. You know, I'm like, I've only got a few hours to see her. Literally, the first day I met her, my flight was in a few hours. So it was so romantic of like, you know, there's that sort of scarcity, urgency of needing to connect. And,
yeah,
you know,
and curiosity
not much time.
As well.
Then I'm across from the world and I'm saying to her, I'll fly you out, come meet me here and everything. You know, it's so sexy. Our second date was a week-long road trip where we slept in the car and we went around Scotland and in UK. And
amazing.
I was so adventurous and exciting. And then fast forward 12 months later, I've left like little poo-poo stains in the toilet and I'm like 5% extra body fat.
Yeah.
I've got like a clap beard and I haven't had a haircut in like a few months because I've already got the girl. So it's what me and you were joking about. It's like a lot of guys get the girl and just get complacent afterwards.
Yeah.
And we say that as a phrase and, you know, people know, okay, don't get complacent. But for me, it sneaks in without me expecting it, you know, with almost conscious decisions of like, oh yeah, well, you know, more muscle's not going to change my life. It's just a distraction from business anyway. And, you know, business isn't really going to change my life anyway because I already make more than enough money. And suddenly it's like I'm 5% higher body fat. And it's not those things that make a difference. It's not really the haircut that makes the difference. It's your self-image behind it. It's not that she notices that you don't have a skin fade and so she's not attracted to you. It's that you notice and you don't feel the same level of confidence. And so I stopped bringing my best self to the relationship, which was unfair on her because it's like I sold her a promise of like, as like a marketing tactic of like, this is who I am. Look at me. I'm sexy as fuck. I'm mysterious. I'm masculine. The way I used to stare into her eyes on our date, like I literally would be like, if you saw it from the outside, you would have just thought like, this guy's a fucking G. Like he's sexualizing her perfectly. I'm staring into her eyes. I was present and everything. And then soon it's like, I'm just this fucking idiot who's just on his phone and stuff. And you know, it's not special. Then you live together. And I went from being like, I'd assume like James Bond or some spiritual lover to just being this like goofy guy who's telling stupid jokes. And you know, she sees me 24/7. I work at home and stuff. And I lost that side of myself. Yeah. And so it's one of my biggest regrets and my biggest learning lesson, and it's something I'd pass off to the guys watching this. Stay as who you were or even better from the start of the relationship. So I like to visualize James Bond, and I'm not that much of a fan of the movies, but I just visualize of how I could imagine the character James Bond navigates his relationships, where he's focused on the mission and he sees his woman in the time that he can, but he's mysterious and he keeps up that attraction between them. He doesn't allow that wall to break down where it turns into like a friendship. He keeps that polarized dynamic where he's masculine, she's feminine. He sees her as like a good girl, like his daughter, and he's more like the father figure. The problem with most modern relationships is that they start to diffuse the polarity. Instead of it being like father, daughter, it starts becoming kind of like brother, sister, or even worse, mother, son.
Mm.
And I think this is the dynamic of most relationships.
Oh yeah, mother, son, yeah, yeah. And then the guys wonder why that she don't want to fuck you.
Because he's a bitch, that's why. Because like,
she's mothering you.
Yeah, we go to any restaurant right now, we go to a cafe, we all sit down. If a couple walks in, I guarantee, I could bet £1,000 right now, he's a pussy. Guarantee woman walks in first. Guarantee woman speaks to the waiter and she'll order for herself first. And then this little pussy will like, he'll lift his eyes up from his Clash of Clans on his phone or something. And like, you know, like mumble what he wants with his like estrogenic voice. And this is like every couple you see. It's so rare for me. Like me and my girl used to do this. It was so rare. Like we'd look at every couple. It was so rare to ever see a couple that had the right dynamic where the man was in the masculine. Yeah. And was interesting. We almost never would see couples that were actually happy. So in general, because look, no woman actually wakes up and thinks like, oh yeah, I want a guy who's more effeminate and less confident than me. No woman like touches herself thinking like, I hope my future husband is a bitch, basically. I hope he's a pussy. I hope he's scared to speak to the waiter. I hope his voice breaks when he like wants to order something on his phone. No woman thinks like that. She wants James Bond. She wants the alpha male. She wants the caveman who walks in with like this primal strength that he like, yeah, he's comfortable in his own skin. He can walk into a restaurant and not know where the toilets are. He can speak to the waiter and, you know, ask the question, are you open right now? That's what women actually desire. And the truth is, that's what men want to be like as well. Mm. But it's so strange that most men these days are not able to step into that because of conditioning, because of toxins in the environment that have fucked up our testosterone. So it's, I'm not that bad at all. I'm still the one in the dominant position, but I fall off badly. And that's one of my biggest mistakes in the relationship.
Yeah. Well, it's self-sabotage again, yeah. Right? It's self-sabotage then to put you back to your comfortable zone. It's like, just be comfortable and like, hey, Hamza, man, go to the gym. Nah, do you know what? Fuck it. I don't need to go to the gym today. I went yesterday. Like, I'm not going to go.
I've already got the girl.
Yeah, I've already got the girl. I don't need to do that. Hey, mate, why don't we take her out for a date this weekend? Nah.
You can just have sex at home.
Yeah, we'll just do that. Exactly. And it's like that inner voice.
Yeah.
Yeah, the inner enemy. It's the voice in your head that keeps you small. Because it just wants to keep you fucking comfortable. Yeah, I know that voice well. And I think many guys know that voice well. And what you were just saying now, guys walking in with that, you know, the woman doing the ordering for them and the woman mothering them. I think for many men, there's a couple of things that's going on. Number one is that they don't think they're ever going to fucking die. Mm. Or they're not thinking about, I could die tomorrow, or I could die next week, or I could die next year. They're thinking, I've got 50 years left in the bag, and within those 50 years, I'll fix this. I'll get it back. You know, I'll get the relationship back. I'll get the business back. So there's no fucking urgency to actually do anything about the problems. Right, second thing is that no one's fucking keeping them accountable, and they're not accountable to themselves. So here's the thing. It's like those moments when we're on our own, no one's fucking watching, right? And we go, should I go to the gym right now? Nah, fuck it. I won't bother.
Hmm.
Right? I know I told myself this morning I was going to go to the gym, but I'm not going to fucking bother. Should I make the sales call right now? Nah, I'll fucking do it tomorrow.
Hmm.
Right? Guys, because many guys in society now, particularly in the Western world, we're so fucking safe. Like, if I don't make any sales calls for the next 6 months, a year, I will still be okay. I will be. Like, I've got money in the bank, but let's just say I had no money in the bank, right? And I make no sales calls for the next year, I'll still be okay because the government will look after me.
Mm.
Or my mum might bail me out, do you know? So, or my buddy will bail me out because it's so fucking safe for us say for a lot of guys in Western society, there's no real like urgency, there's no real fucking pain to do something about it. Here's the bigger problem with that, is that every time we break our internal word to ourselves, no one's fucking watching, no one knows between me and you that we broke our word this morning. No one knows. But we know.
Yeah.
Your fucking soul knows. Mm. And every time we make it, it's like an imprint on the soul. Imprint. Guess what? The micro becomes a macro, becomes your behavior, becomes your fucking identity.
Your body language is all fucked up. You're not feeling as confident. And that's what other people pick up on.
Yeah. We're not going to fucking die for another 50 years anyway. I'll fix it next year. I'll fix it next week. And it's just a vicious circle.
The vicious part, I always think, is every technological advancement is basically making the world a more comfortable place. Mm. But men, comfort is the killer of man. And so men are in this weird place where it would almost be absurd to strip back our daily comforts, but that's exactly what you have to do as a man. You've got to wake up super early. You've got to do the cold showers. Like this is all the stuff that we're talking about on our shows. And I wrote one thing here, which is that because of that comfort, most men have not needed to become the caliber of person to achieve like whatever stimulating desire that they have. So for example, if you're a loser guy, you can't have sex, but now you can watch porn. So it's like, it's kind of good enough. Beforehand, if you couldn't have sex, it was so dissatisfying that negative energy would have actually caused you to take action. Mm. The same with brotherhood. A guy without brotherhood status and recognition feels fucking awful, but now he's got video games. Now he's got brotherhood in his Call of Duty. He's got status. He's got the gold gun or something, and people think he's cool for that. So it's like whatever we needed on a primal level, technology now gives to us. And so we don't have that same level of dissatisfaction. So many people are stuck in the virtual world. They have porn instead of real intimacy. They have video game prestige and levels instead of status in the real world, which means that they're not dissatisfied enough in the real world to create this change. The one thing that I see is consistent for every top performer that I've been around, that they have this huge ability to be dissatisfied with the highest levels. So I gave a lecture in Amsterdam, like I do meetups for my community. And I said, okay, put your like hand up and tell me what your goal is. Someone says like 5K a month. Another guy says like 10K a month. I say to them, if I achieved your goal, if I was on your goal right now, I wouldn't be able to sleep. I'd probably sweat 24/7. I'd probably cry maybe every day. I'd probably work 16 hours straight because I would be personally disgusted to be at the level that you desire, because it's, what is it, 20 times less than what I'm making right now. Mm-hmm. There's millionaires, guys who make $1 million a month, $2 million a month, who look at my level right now, 200,000 a month, and they would literally have night sweats. They wouldn't even be able to sleep. It's the bar of dissatisfaction, where you can put it and how much negative emotion you allow yourself to feel. Most guys are so scared of feeling negative that they won't step into that. The top performers will step into it. They'll get pissed off that they can't go and attract girls. And then they'll go and put like 1,000 hours into learning, like day game pickup.
What you've just said there, the biggest thing is that they're detached from their emotions. Mm. So it's like, but I don't feel like doing that. But the feelings have got nothing to fucking do with it. Whether like it's a shitty situation or a fucking insane situation, they're still doing it anyway, right? And I think too many guys, you know, the guys I work with, it's like listen to the emotions too much. And absolutely in relationships, 100%, you've got to feel into emotions. But a lot with like business decisions, you don't.
Just drive.
It's logical, logic. Yeah. It's absolutely logic. And and here's the thing, is like, yeah, but Hamza, I don't know what I want out of life. But, and Viktor Frankl said this, and actually you talk about stoicism, like a lot of the Stoics said this, like the thing for a man to thrive, for him to like his purpose in life is purely closing the gap. So here's his potential, here's who he is now. All he needs to do day in, day out, moment to moment, is just close that gap. And as long as he's consistently closing that gap, he will be consistently moving forward. He'll be consistently doing the hard things, the challenging things, and he'll thrive. He'll feel fucking good about it, right? And then if you can close that gap, your character traits will increase, your skill sets will increase. Ultimately, that's intrinsic, that you intrinsically, there, you'll get all the extrinsic, the hedonistic, the money. You'll get all that stuff along the way by closing that gap. And I think a lot of guys will like mess that up. I fucking did. I went after the money for so long. I was like, once I get the next Rolex, once I get the next car, I'll be fucking happy. I know I fucking will. And then I got it and I was like, why am I fucking not? I mean, it feels good, right? But why? Don't get me wrong, I like driving my car.
The next bench press PR.
Feels good, but it's not everything. But it's you know what? It's coming to terms with the us guys will have all sorts of fucking emotions. We'll wake up one day and feel fucking anxious. We'll wake up the next day and feel fucking great. But it's being okay with that. It's being okay with that and still moving anyway. Still closing the gap anyway.
Being okay with the negative emotions is interesting. Because you mentioned before like the death meditation, thinking about your own death, like the stoic practice. And that's something I do like all the time, like maybe multiple times a day. I'll visualize my own death. I'll see my own funeral ceremony. I'll see how it'll impact people. I see myself getting older. And it's really negative to feel that way. I literally, like my when I used to tell my girl that I was doing it, she'd cry. You know, I'd tell her like what happened in my little visualization. She'd cry and stuff. But I'd always be there with a smile because she'd cry, feel the emotions. But I would see the opportunity. I would see that like, but I'm not dead yet. And that there's something exciting about that. I still have time to make the change. I still can go from A to B. There's still more time and I get to enjoy that.
Yeah.
Most men these days, they're so afraid of the negative emotions. They don't think about their own death. They don't fear their own death.
Here's a crazy exercise is to write your own eulogy. It's a hard exercise.
Eulogy is what they'll say at your funeral.
I'm at your funeral.
Yeah.
And I'm reading your eulogy. Here lies Hamza. Hamza was a blah, 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 blah. But you can do two variations to this. It's write your own eulogy or do the reverse eulogy. The reverse eulogy is here lies Hamza. Hamza had so much potential.
Oh.
He could have been fucking savage. So I get my guys to do it.
He didn't do like he dreamt of that.
Yeah. God. It's a savage thing to do. It's fucking hard. Honestly, you sit down, you do that with a bunch of guys, you have some quiet, right? And it's hard. It can bring up so many fucking emotions. You're like, damn. Like,
he always said he was going to do the martial arts fight and he never got around to it.
Yeah, yeah. And then there's the other version of Hamza, you know, he grew to this and he impacted, you know, 10 million guys. And it's but then you see that frequently. You read that every, like you said, you do your visualization and then look at the eulogy, like, fuck me, okay, well, if I'm that guy, what moves am I going to make today? Because it's all about today. I can't fucking wait for tomorrow.
What would you want on yours?
The eulogy,
yeah.
It is to impact millions of guys.
Nice.
Right? Yeah. So here's some honesty. When I rewrote my eulogy very recently, the person that was reading it was my daughter. I haven't got a daughter. And prior to me writing that, I hadn't even thought about having a daughter. But when I read it, when I wrote it and I could hear her talking, I was like, fucking goosebumps.
Wow.
I was like, do you know, I want another child. Literally from me writing the eulogy, it came to me that I want another child. It's my daughter reading it. Right? It's a powerful fucking exercise. Try it with the guys.
I'm going to do it when I get home. Wow.
I think we're at time.
Awesome.
Hamza.
That was amazing.
My man, we won't do that crazy fucking handshake. Good to see you, my man. We'll do the handshake. That one, that one, that one, that one.
There you go. Welcome to Islam, bro. Got another one, boys.
Yeah, yeah. That was a great interview.
Thank you. Yeah, that was awesome, bro. That was so exciting.
That was good. I think we could have just kept on talking and talking. I'm just conscious of time.
Yeah, man.
But we could fucking talk for hours. Yeah.
That was awesome. That was so interesting.
Yeah.
Let's do the eulogy.
Do it in the seminar. That'd be interesting. Yeah.
You got a seminar today?
Yeah, I'm giving. Are you free later on today? 3 p.m.
3:30. I might well be, yeah.
Yeah, I'll send you the details.
Yeah.
If you want to come, we're going to do.
Just give me an Instagram, I'll send you all the details.
Yeah. It's in my hotel. I've booked out like a seminar room, so I was going to teach some like social media things to the boys.
Myself on yours,
and then if you want to come, it'll be fun.
Yeah.
I've got like a little lecture. We'll do like little action steps, get to know each other. We've got a few friends coming from Dubai and.
Hey man, it's Ben here. Listen, if you're a high-performing man who likes to set himself big goals and challenges and you find yourself getting in your own way, self-sabotaging, perhaps being beaten down by patterns and behaviours that stop you from getting that big breakthrough, we've got something just for you. We created a Beat Your Inner Enemy 7-part audio series, which literally just drops into your podcast audio app that you can listen to not only just spot the way that your inner enemy shows up, but it will give you practical solutions to help you overcome the patterns and behaviors that have perhaps got in your way in the past. We've had guys listen to this, get straight in touch with us and say thank you so much because it's helped them enormously spot something that they've been battling for years. So all you need to do to download this podcast series is head on over to www.innerenemy.com and it'll just download straight into your Spotify or your Apple Podcasts or however you listen to your podcast, and you can consume it. They're short episodes and they're super impactful and transformational. Head on over to www.innerenemy.com and enjoy that audio series. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you on the next episode.